Man, how many of you guys were here last time I was here? Is anybody here last time I was here? Hey, man, I think it was about a year ago. I know you guys had me back. I thought for sure I'd never come back. No, I'm just kidding. Man, well, listen, it's exciting to be here with you guys this morning. Love Family Church. Love Pastor Adam and Danielle. Like I said, we've got a long history together. How many of you are thankful for God's grace? Come on, somebody. You know, it's just incredible because I feel like every time I have an opportunity to minister God's word, I never feel worthy. Like, I never feel like I'm just so grateful because I know all the mess that's going on in my life. Amen. Anybody ever felt like that? Come on now. And so I'm so grateful that he called me out of my mess and gives me a platform to be able to share his word. And so anytime that I preach, it's you know, I'm always preaching to myself. It always starts inward. Can I get an amen? So excited to be here. Thank you so much. I do have four kids, and sometimes I'm just like, dear Jesus, help me. And right now, my three-year-old, she transitioned into a big girl bed. Like, here in the last 6 months, it's been crazy because we went through transitioning from, like, a crib to a bed to potty training. And anybody that's been through the potty training world, I'm telling you what, like she thought we were traumatizing her. Like, she was so scared. She held for, like, 12 hours. Listen, 12 hours, people. And I come home from work, and my wife was committed this time. It was like a showdown between a three-year-old and a 35-year-old, my wife. And my three, she was like dancing. She just like couldn't stand still because she had to pee, but she was afraid to use the potty. Like, she was just afraid. Like, and I don't get it because she used it to poop, but it was just this whole peeing thing. Like, just something about it freaked her out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so I'm just watching her and so, you know, as a good loving dad, you know, I pull my phone out and get my video, because I had to record some of this because that way at her 16th birthday or graduation, I could like put it up on video, you know. But I'll tell you, she finally went, and can I tell you that that's all it took was like 12 hours for her to go that one time, and then it happened, and then now she like tells us, like, hey, gotta go potty, can I go? You know, so such a blessing. But anywho, I got a good word that I feel like the Lord has placed in my heart. You know, as we go this morning, I want to encourage you. I mean, you guys are already doing a good job of talking back. So I'm not used to people being silent. You know what I'm saying? So I need you to talk back to me. Right, Gabe? I need you to say amen, hallelujah, shake the tree, get it past. I mean, whatever is on your mind when we're getting into this word, I need you to let me know you track it with me, okay? Because I didn't come to preach to a dead church, right? Are you dead? All right, there you go. Live things talk, live things live. So got a strong word for you today. Look at your neighbor and say, while you were sleeping. Yeah, a lot of things happen while we're sleeping, ain't it? A lot of things happen while you sleep. I remember being a kid, I never wanted to sleep. I was one of those kids that just never wanted to miss anything. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you have. You know, you feel like you go to sleep and you feel like the world goes on and you don't just want to miss anything, you know? But how many of you know, guys know that there are some bad things that can happen while we're sleeping? You know, so for example, in my house, while my wife and I were sleeping, sometimes my three-year-old, the same one that had issues with the potty training, she'll jump out of her bed, and one time she was drawing on the TV. And she was happy about it. She said, look what I drew. You know, So while you were sleeping, so the background we're going to talk about, the scripture we're going to talk about is Matthew chapter 13. Everybody say Matthew 13. So in Matthew 13, let me tell you what's happening here. Jesus was in a teaching portion of his ministry, right? He had already done miracles. He had taught on the Beatitudes, and he had sent the disciples two by two to go evangelize. Now he had spent the whole day preaching and teaching, and it was later in the day that he had gone outside to sit. He's tired. He needs to sit down, you know? And all of a sudden, large crowds started to form. And so when the large crowd started to form, he started teaching, and he got in a boat. There's so many people that he got in a boat, and he started teaching from the boat. And he starts teaching them about the kingdom of God through many different parables. Okay, so that's what's going on. And so the one parable that I want to focus on this morning is in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24. And that parable is the parable of the weeds. You should all be, many of you are familiar with the parable of the weeds. So I'm going to go ahead and read that in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. And here we go. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed into the field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did all these weeds come from?" "An enemy has done this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Fast forwarding on to 36. He goes, "Then the crowd left and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for your word. God, I pray for this service this morning. I pray, God, that those of us that have ears, let us hear this morning. Father, as we dive into the wheat and the tares, Jesus, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, God. And I pray, Lord, that the truth of your word would bring freedom, would bring love, and would bring joy. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. So the first thing about this parable that I noticed is that, mind you, Jesus spent about 10 parables teaching about the kingdom of God and trying to ensure that they understood the kingdom of God. So the first thing is that Jesus wants us to understand the kingdom of God. He wants us to understand the kingdom of God. Why? Why does he want us to understand the kingdom of God? Because the kingdom is so different. His kingdom is so different than the one that we live in. It's so different that it requires new programming. Think about it. The economic system is different. The world encourages us to focus our resources on ourselves, and God's economy says it's better to give than to receive. You see, the world's currency is money, right? And we're encouraged to get as much as we can. But God's currency is love, forgiveness, and grace. And we're mandated to give as much as we can. You see, the world tells us that we need to self-promote, that we need to make a name for ourselves. But Jesus teaches us to serve and make his name great. These two kingdoms are completely different. They're opposite of each other. And many people struggle to develop and grow in their relationship with God and to understand God's kingdom due to the mental differences. Because they've spent, many of us, come on, you guys know, many of us have spent many years viewing our life through certain lenses. We've formed our views. We've defined good and bad based upon how we were raised, based upon things that we have been taught. We define success based upon how we were raised, the way that we live. And so what happens is when we hear the gospel message, we want the benefits and the rewards of the gospel, right? Nobody wants to go to hell, right? We hear people talk about hell and burning and gnashing of teeth, and who says, sign me up for that? Nobody does. So we want salvation. We want to be healed. We want blessings. But what I don't know that we understand is that it takes renewing of our mind. It requires us to learn a new way of thought, a new way of entertainment. Come on, somebody. A new way of living. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." You see, understanding the kingdom of God is tied to renewing. And what we have in modern Western Christianity is a lot of pew sitters, a lot of people that like the sound of the music, they like to laugh in church, but they don't have understanding of the kingdom. And see, transformation happens through understanding and through renewal. And those things can only happen through a disciplined learning lifestyle. Like the Bible studies that you have on, is that Tuesdays? Wednesdays? Come on, somebody. When you show up at church paying attention, taking notes, right? It, having devotional time in your word where you're trying to understand the word. That's where growth comes from. Somebody say amen. And so Jesus is emphasizing the teaching on the kingdom because it's imperative to our understanding of God and maturing in him. This is why he speaks in parables. You see, the parables are a language that the people of the time of the world, at the time that Jesus lived in, understood. See, for many of us, when we read parables, we're like, wait, what? Farming and weeding and all this kind of, I don't even know what's going on. But back then, that was their life. So when Jesus is speaking in these parables, they understood it because that was their life. So let's break down. Since many of us aren't familiar with a lot of these terms, let's break it down. I think you should ever say, break it down, Pastor. Well, I'm finna do it. So the first thing that he said is the farmer sowed good seed into his field. Somebody say good seed. See, this is important because the type and quality of seed that he sows in the present is directly connected to the harvest that he's going to have in the future. Oh, come on, somebody. I don't think you got that. The quality of the seed that he sows in the ground in the present is directly connected to what he's going to reap in the future. So if he wants a good harvest, if he wants to reap something good, then what he puts into the ground has to be good. And see, this is true of our life. The quality of what we sow in our life now is directly connected to the harvest that we, you and I, will have in our life later. Come on, somebody. So, if your life is full of the world, and listen, it doesn't even have to be bad worldly things. See, there's a lot of things in the world that aren't necessarily bad, but they're just not. They're not good, right? Or they're not something that's going to help you grow spiritually. You see what I'm saying? And so what happens is if your life is full of the world, right? TV shows, music, movies, activities, etc., right? And that's what consumes your life. And then the portion of your life that involves the word, worship, prayer, fasting, life-giving, spiritual things, right? That portion is small. Then what kind of harvest are you going to have later in life? Small harvest. Think about that. That's why there's people that have been in church, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 plus years, but they're still spiritual babies. Why? Because there's no disciplines to grow. Right? Because when you look at the quality of what they put in their life, they come to church. Right? They come to church, but when they leave church, that's like the most spiritual thing they do all week is what happens on Sunday. And you see, a good harvest is a combination of both quality and quantity. You put the quality of the seed in large amounts of quantity. And so you may have some quality things that you're sowing into your life, right? You may go to church on Sunday. You may read your Bible on Sunday. You may pray on Sunday. Somebody catching my theme? But the rest of the week, the quality of what you're sowing is poor. If that's the case, then how can we expect a good harvest in our personal life? It's time to pay attention to the quality of what we're sowing in our life, because the quality of our future depends on it. Can I get an amen? You see, this farmer is dependent upon his crops for survival. You see, this story is about economic success. There was no Walmart. Homeboy couldn't pull up the Kroger's. He had Amazon Prime. It wasn't happening back then. His lifestyle was his farming. And so if the quality of what was producing was compromised, then his ability to earn income, come on, somebody, was at stake.
So the farmer is trusting that the good seed that was placed in the field would produce what it was supposed to produce because he has plans for that harvest. Can I tell you, church, that just as a farmer has plans for his harvest, God has plans for his harvest. So the second thing I noticed about this parable is that the enemy will come against you at the most calculated time. You see, Scripture says, while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. You see, the farmer's enemy waited until the farmer was most vulnerable to make his move while everybody was sleeping. You see, Satan is calculating and will wait for specific moments to attack you when you're not alert and when you're not watching. That is what he studies you. Anybody ever, I've been to Africa 3 times. I've been to, actually 4, safaris. Love safaris. Anybody ever watch the Discovery Channel? You see the lion and the hyenas hunt? See, a lot of times what they do is they sit in the grass. Listen, oh, I got to tell you this story. I'm ADD too. I'm sorry. I just had to throw it out there. But so the last safari I went on, right, we were all looking at the lion out in the distance, and we were just oohing and aahing. And, oh, my gosh, look at the lion. I mean, we were excited to see it. And then all of a sudden, we're so focused on that one. And all of a sudden, like from here to about where you are, all of a sudden this other lion just stands up. And we're like, whoa, look at that. You know, we're so excited. But it was like you couldn't see it. Okay, that was my story. But it was just beautiful. But on the Discovery Channel, a lion or a hyena, something that is a predator, right, is studying his prey. And he's looking for the right opportunity, looking for the weak moment. And all of a sudden, it just pounces. And that's how the enemy is. He'll wait till you're tired, you're annoyed at work. Come on, somebody. Family's getting on your nerves. And all of a sudden, all these temptations will start to come. He's going to give you ideas. You know what? You don't really need to do that. You don't need to spend time with God. You don't need to make it right. It's their fault anyway. You know what I'm saying? He'll start giving you all sorts of opportunities. Why? Throw those seeds in there. And so Satan is calculating. You know, 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. This is why he wants you to be focused on building your kingdom. Come on, somebody. He wants you to be focused on building your career, on building your family, on your entertainment, on your retirement, on your interest, on your comfort. Because as long as you're focused on building your kingdom, then you aren't paying attention to what is being sown in your life. Did you hear me? As long as your focus is building your kingdom, then you are not paying attention to what he is sowing in your life because you're not being alert. And so what's happening is he's leaking in there, and he's just sowing seeds. Sowing seeds. But can I tell you that this parable also reveals the enemy's limitations with his attack? You see, while the farmer was sleeping, the enemy came in and he just sowed those seeds. Why did he do that? Because he couldn't compromise the integrity of the wheat. Come on, somebody. He couldn't stop the wheat seeds that were there. He couldn't stop the wheat from being wheat. The wheat was wheat. So the only thing that he can do was produce a counterfeit. Are you following me? To produce a counterfeit in the field so that it would rob the wheat of the nutrients it needed to be strong and bountiful. You see, the enemy does not have the authority to pluck you away from God. The enemy does not have the authority to make you backslide. The enemy cannot steal you out of the arms of God. The only thing that he can do is try to make your walk with God more difficult. Right? He can't stop you from being a disciple of Jesus. He can only try to place things in your life to try to discourage you and kill your motivation. You've got to be on guard for the weeds. The weeds was the next part of the story. Verse 29, listen to what it says. It says, let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. You see, the enemy sowed weeds because he was trying to devalue the harvest. Because if he could devalue the harvest, then he could hurt the farmer. So listen, it really even wasn't even about the wheat. This parable really wasn't even about the wheat. This is a great example of when it says the battle is not yours, the battle belongs to the Lord. You see, because God is the farmer in this parable, the enemy wants to destroy us because he knows how valuable we are to God. Because remember, as I said, this is an economic story. For the farmer, when the seeds were sown while the farmer was sleeping, did it affect the wheat? Yeah, it did affect the wheat. But ultimately, the enemy of the farmer was trying to destroy the farmer's harvest. So he was really trying to hurt the farmer. So when the enemy comes against us, it's not even about you. It's not even about me. But what it is because we're made in the image of God. Because God has a plan for us. It's about him trying to hurt God. And so he'll sow those weeds in there. But for us as wheat, we have to be aware. We have to be alert. Because weeds will have the appearance of wheat for a period of time. But eventually, their identity will be revealed. So you think about that. See, the enemy sowed the seed. But there was a period of time where the wheat and the weeds grew simultaneously together. And there wasn't, you couldn't tell the difference for a period of time. But then there will come a time where you'll be able to see the difference between the wheat and the weed. So being in the same field together doesn't make you related. You hear me? You see the wheat and the weed, they were in the same field together. Why do I say that? Because there's a lot of weeds in the church. You hear me? There's a lot of weeds in the church. And so there's a lot of people that have the appearance of Christians, the appearance of being wheat. But they're weeds. You have people in the church that are just as worldly as the world. There's no passion to know Christ. They're not moved by their sin. You see, the thing that sets us apart as wheat is the fact that we hate our sin. It's the fact that we're moved by that. Isaiah 6:5 says, woe is me, I cried. I'm ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King of the Lord Almighty. And what happens is the closer we get to God, the more we realize our own depravity. And the more it brings us to our knees in tears, in appreciation. Because we say, God, how would you save such a wretch like me? And it's something that truly we feel on the inside of us. But a weed, it doesn't care. His attitude is, whatever. Just doing what makes me happy. Come on now. And they're those kind of people in churches. Don't you want to get that amount? No, it doesn't matter. God forgives. And there's no desire to grow. There's no desire to mature. Are you with me? And what happens is the weeds will try to tangle themselves. And so rather than pushing you towards God, they try to bring you away from God. They try to encourage you to justify your sin. Anytime you try to grow, and anytime you feel conviction to change your life and to go deeper, you know, why are you being so super spiritual? Man, it's not that bad. Come on, somebody. 2 Timothy 3:5, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with them. Church, don't be so intertwined with the weeds that it chokes out your life. Remember, there will come a day when the weeds will be thrown into the fire. So let me ask you a question. What are the weeds in your life? It's time to let the Holy Spirit reveal what is robbing you of the nutrients. You see, when I first started serving God, you know, I was worldly. I just was. And I hung out with everybody. I knew everybody. I mean, I had a lot of friends, you know, and I'm a social butterfly. But there came a time when I made a decision of who I wanted to be for Jesus. And there are people that I had to cut because they weren't making me be closer to God. They weren't helping me in my passion to be stirred. They were trying to throw water on my fire. And listen, these are people that I grew up with from like first grade. And it was like, look, I had to make a choice. And you and I have to make a choice. So what are the weeds in your life? What's robbing you of your nutrients? You know, as I talk about some of the things, you know, entertainment-wise, that was a big thing for me. I was a big listener to rap music, like, loved it. You know, I listen to Christian rap now, but back then it was Biggie, it was Pac, it was, you know, some names that maybe you know, maybe this means nothing to you, but it was, let's just say, it was vile stuff, but I was the guy that said, but the beat, man, the beat is the bomb, right? I would justify it because it was the beat. But here's the thing, listen how my life went. I went to church, but then I would sow seeds of, listen, and that music that I was listening to, it was promoting everything opposite of what this book talks about. So I don't care what the style, whether it's pop, country, rap, whatever. If you're filling yourself with stuff that is the opposite of what this book is trying to encourage us, you're sowing bad seeds into yourself. And so that's what I was doing. I was listening to all that stuff, and all of a sudden, the Lord just started to convict me. Because how is it that I can be a child of God and saying I'm committed to his word and that I love him, that I appreciate him dying on the cross for my sins one moment, but then the next moment I'm blank, 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 blank. You know what I'm saying? It's like two don't go together. But it was a maturity thing that I grew in that. It wasn't like I gave my heart to Jesus one day and then the next day, bam, it was all gone. No, it was I was committed to spiritually growing. And church, the reason is because I had people in my life that would preach this message. Are there weeds? What are the weeds in your life? What's sucking you away from your nutrients? What's keeping you from being the man of God that God has called you to be? So how is this parable connected to the kingdom of heaven? Well, we know that scripture says that the one who sowed the seed is the Son of Man. That was verse 37. And Jesus is the Son of Man. Jesus is the owner of the field, okay? So Jesus is the owner. Second, the field is the world, verse 38. When the world was created, come on, when God created the world, what kind of seed did he sow? Did he sow good seed or bad seed? He sowed good seed. He sowed the best seed that could be sowed. He sowed good seed. So God, or the field, excuse me, is the world. Next, the good seed is the son of the kingdom, all right? Verse 38, so the sons of the kingdom are those who obey Christ and have allowed him to be Lord in their life. John 14, 23, anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. My Father will love them and make our home with them. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, according to verse 38. Who are the sons of the evil one? Those are the ones who are not serving God. Matthew 12:30 says, whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. See, somehow in this Western church, we have created a middle ground that doesn't exist in the Word of God. Jesus said, either you're for me or you're against me. So what does it mean to be for God? It means to worship him. It means to dive into his word. It means to gather the lost. We are all called together. All this mess about, well, it's just not my personality. I'm just not one that talks to people. No, I just don't. All these excuses that we give ourselves for not being obedient to heaven mean nothing, because God's heart is you and his heart is that you and I would reach the lost. Somebody say amen. The enemy who sows bad seed is the devil, according to verse 39. The devil, he is the source of the corrupted seed, and the harvest is the end of the age, where the harvesters are the angels. Jesus is coming back. He will send his angels that will deal with the weeds. And he will collect what is sowed in seed time, which is the wheat. So listen, through this parable, Jesus is teaching that there's a battle between two worlds, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Remember, all this is coming back to who he's talking to. He's helping them to see the big picture of this spiritual world. As we close this morning, I've got two questions that I want to ask you. Are you wheat or are you a weed? And these are questions that you have to answer within your heart. It doesn't matter what your pastor's told you. It doesn't matter what so-and-so's told you. So-and-so said that I was a Christian. Okay, great. But has Jesus been Lord of your life? Because unless you pick up your cross, you deny yourself, and you follow me, you cannot be my disciples, says Jesus. So is your life dominated by obedience to Christ? Do you live to love him, serve him, and be used by him? Are you moved by your sin? Not just aware of your sin, but do you hate your sin? If not, then you're a weed. Doesn't matter how long you've been coming to church or who told you that you were wheat. The Bible defines that as being a wheat. But can I tell you that there is hope? God can totally transform your identity. Even though the enemy is limited to the attacks that he can do, he can't take wheat and make it weed. God can take a weed and make it wheat. And so you're here. And the question is your life dominated by Christ? Because there is coming a day when Jesus is coming back and the wheat and the tares will be separated. And it's God's desire that you are here to hear this message, because you know your life. I'm not talking about your public life at church. I'm talking about your private life, because that's what you're going to be judged off of, is what happens in the dark places, because that's who you really are, not the person that everybody sees. And God is saying this morning, I see you. I see what you do in the dark. I see what you do behind closed doors, and I still love you. And I'm giving you an opportunity to lay it before me, and to let me be Lord, and to let me set you free, and let you experience what true love and forgiveness is. So if you're here, I just want every head bowed for a moment. Holy Spirit, would you just begin to speak? God, would they hear your voice? Would they feel your tugging? Jesus, would your love consume this place? If you're here this morning and you say, I'm a weed and I want God to make me wheat. I'm not moved, I haven't been moved by my sin. I live for myself, I do what I want. And this morning, I'm ready to surrender. And I'm ready to let God be Lord in my life. Pray for me, Pastor. If there's anyone here, just slip your hand up so I know who I'm praying for. If you're here and you say, that's me, that's me. God bless you. God bless you. Okay. Next question I'm going to ask is, what's been going on while you've been sleeping? You're here and you love God. You want to serve him with everything, but you've been asleep in some areas of your life. You've let your guard down, and the enemy has planted some weeds in your life. Your quality and quantity has been unbalanced. You sow some quality seeds in your life, but they're smothered by the quantity of the worldly stuff in your life. And you're saying this morning, I need to be alert. I need to be more alert. I need to be more alert. If that's you this morning, you say, pray for me, Pastor. Let me see your hand so I know who I'm praying for. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see hands all throughout. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the power of your word, that your word brings truth. And Father, I pray, Lord, first for the persons, God, that have acknowledged that, man, Lord, I'm a weed in your field, and I need to be wheat. Jesus, I pray that they would find forgiveness in you. I pray, God, that as they surrender their heart, Lord, I pray, God, that you would just begin to prune and to pour your love, God, that may they find forgiveness. May they find freedom. May they find healing. May they find hope, God. I pray, Lord, that the lies that they have been believing and living for would be broken over them, God. And I pray, Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would begin the regeneration of new birth, God. I pray, Father, that they would hear the power of the Father saying, this is my son, my daughter, in whom I am well pleased and welcome home. And so, Jesus, I rebuke the enemy off of their life. And I say, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Father, for those who have been asleep in their life, as they look over their life, and there's areas that they have allowed the enemy to come in and to sow things in their life. Jesus, and they say no more. This morning I am being alert. This morning I'm coming before the throne of grace. And I'm saying, God, I'm laying my life bare before you. Would you begin to prune me, God? Would you begin to weed out those things that are displeasing to you? The things that I've allowed in my life. God, would you just begin to show me? Begin to remove them. And Holy Spirit, as you begin to remove them, I pray that new joy would come, that new happiness would come, that new peace would come. God, as we just begin to confess those things before you and lay them down at your feet, Father, I pray that the transformation would begin to just birth such peace and freedom. So God, thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray, God, that as we leave this place, we go on the rest of this week, I pray, God, that we would be sensitive to the things that we allow in our life, that we would guard our field diligently. We would guard it. God, help us to be faithful so that when you come back for your harvest, you look at us and you say, well done, good, faithful servant. In Jesus' name, amen. Andrew.